This passage about the greatest commandment this morning is sometimes called the double love commandment, and that's because it has two elements, love of God and love of neighbor. And sometimes it's talked about the horizontal element of love, the love of neighbor, and then the vertical element of love, the love of God. And in this passage, the Pharisees are getting more and more concerned, are getting more interested in persecuting Jesus and trying to trap him and trick him. They're trying to get him to lose favor with the crowds. He's drawing crowds and people who want to follow him. And so what happens here is that they decide they will test him by asking him, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And this is clearly a trap. It's clearly a trap because of the word in the Greek when it talks about the lawyer coming to test him. But it's also a trap because how are you going to pick the greatest of the commandments in the Old Testament? There are 600 and some odd commandments in the Old Testament. And if Jesus picks any particular one of them, he will be critiqued for being too glib about the law. How can you reduce it down to just one commandment? He will be critiqued for taking this too cavalierly. There's really no way he can win. Yet Jesus puts back on them a different question. He critiques their own question not by giving them one command, but he gives them two. And he says, the greatest commandment in the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. But yet, don't forget, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And then, not only does he give them two, then he says, the rest of the commandments, all the other 600 and change, hang on those two, like a washing line hung out. All the rest of the commandments fall from those. If you can do those two perfectly, everything else will fall into place. It's a pretty good way to answer, because any charge that they brought against him of being too glib or of saying too little, he could say, well, I did mention all of the commandments. I said they all hang on that line. They're all part of our tradition. So it's a pretty good answer. It's an excellent answer. Yet, as we know, true love is really in the details. It is easy, on the one hand, to say things about love, to say that we should love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Yet love truly is in the details. It's a lot harder to live it out than it is just to say that you love someone. And in America, we're especially bad at this. We don't have a good word here in English, because in America, you turn on the radio and everything about love is about feeling. Every movie that's about love is about falling in love or falling out of love. It's all about feeling a particular way. In order to love someone, we believe in the United States of America that you have to like them, that you have to have a particular feeling towards them, a positive feeling towards them. Now, do you ever stop and really think how weird that is? Can you really command somebody to feel nice towards somebody else? Can you really say that? Can you really command somebody to feel love for somebody else? I mean, your feelings just are. They're neither good nor bad. Have you ever known somebody to change just by trying harder to change their feelings? Your kids come up to you, they say, hey, Dad, I'm feeling really hungry. You stop that feeling hungry right now. Doesn't make any sense. Don't feel so lonely. Sure, there's nobody around, but don't feel so lonely. Stop right now feeling so sleepy. You stop it. Don't feel sleepy. Children, you have to feel like you like lima beans. You just have to, and you will, I promise you. No, nobody says that. Nobody says that. You say, try it. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe your feelings will change about it. You don't have to really like it right now, but you at least have to try it, right? That's how we talk. But in love, we get this disconnect. Somehow we start to act really weird. We start to act really weird. So to love a neighbor is not to feel a particular way about that neighbor. Your feelings don't come into it. We don't even have to like our neighbors or feel any particular way about them. Whether you like them or dislike them doesn't matter. And I learned this from C.S. Lewis, the great English theologian. He was an English professor in the 20th century. In the middle half of the 20th century, he wrote a bunch of books about Christianity, wrote a bunch of books for children. And I learned from him, one of his books called Mere Christianity, that Christian love is not really about changing your feelings. Your feelings are less important than changing your actions. Christian love is not about changing your feelings so much as it is about changing your actions. And he says that instead of working on changing our feelings, which is what we always do, I can't really love that person because I don't feel like I like them very much. He says that's looking at it the wrong way. You have to act as if you love them. And then maybe your feelings will someday change. You have to act first as if you love them. Act as if they were yourself. Treat them in a way that you would like to be treated. Act in a way that shows them love, even if you don't feel it. And maybe someday you'll start to feel different. But don't start from there. Don't start from the feeling, because you'll never get there. It's like exercise, right? You can go all day and look at that weight machine and say, boy, I feel that is a good weight machine. Look at that weight machine. That feels to me like that one. If somebody got on that, I think they would lose a lot of weight. I just love this machine. This machine is the greatest machine I've ever seen for exercise. It's just the best machine anywhere out there. But if you don't get on it, it's not going to work. It's not going to count for anything. You've got to get on there and use it. You actually have to act. And it's the same way with love. If we wait for ourselves to feel differently about people, what happens if we never feel differently? Jesus doesn't say, love your neighbor when you feel like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the feelings don't enter into it. And at first it will be very hard, as starting up a new exercise is very hard. At first it will be very difficult, because those are some muscles that you haven't used in a while. Forgiving someone, loving someone who you don't know very well, or don't even want to know very well. But you will find, as with exercise, that it gets easier. I kind of think that's what Jesus was getting at here. That God doesn't care how you feel towards loving your neighbor. The point is not whether you feel it in your bones or not. The point is, have you listened to Jesus enough to say yes? Yes, I accept Jesus, that you are Lord over all of my life, and that I am commanded to love my neighbor, whether I really care for them or not. Perhaps the most challenging bit is to love someone that I really don't feel much love towards, is to love someone who I really don't care for. And perhaps that's exactly the point. I'm sure that's exactly the point, because all the rest of the law and the prophets hang on that. And if you act as if you love someone, regardless of your feelings, that will change your life, and it will change your relationship, not only to God above, but also to your neighbor, your family, and your friends. Amen.